Okay, Ron, thank you so much, and good evening, everyone. And it's really good to hear and see that there are others that are concerned and love and joy the Word of God and to get an understanding of His will rightly divided. And that's what we try to do in our studies. And I have taken up a study on the word wisdom. And you look at wisdom to begin with, and it doesn't seem to be a really that interesting subject. But then again, when you get involved and you see that God's plan and purpose for the ages moves with God's will to implement His will in the world, to allow those that are willing to learn or those that are willing to go the extra step to come to a greater understanding of what He has for each of us. And to realize that when He sent His Son to the earth and He stayed here for that 3 years and gave His life and His blood for each of us to give us an opportunity to be able to understand that sin can be taken care of, and be taken care of not yearly but forever, that by His blood, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was given once, and it was given once for all. And then we go back and look, well, how did all this come about, or how did all this begin to be brought forth? And so we go back to the book of Acts, which is basically a running history line to tell us and to help us understand that this period of the years after the death of Christ, this period of years for those that saw Him and those that were witnesses of what Christ came to do and what He started, then we also see too in the very first chapter or two of Acts of how the Holy Spirit was allowed to embody the believers, to give them direction and to give them knowledge and to give them God's will and to realize and to understand what He did through His prophets and what He did through others down through the ages was being worked out by God's will. And the direction comes from the Father, but like always, it was taken care of by the Son. And it was always that way. When God chose to create, it was God's will, but it was the Son that did it. So we're in study 17. And we've got up, in my study, we've got up through the 13th chapter of the book of Acts in about AD 47-48. But we also got to remember that looking at Acts, that Luke, the one that wrote the Gospel of Luke, the doctor, he was the one going back and doing the writing. And your companion Bible tells you that basically, that it was published like in the AD 60 something. And so then these earlier epistles of Paul, was written, and when Luke was redoing this for his friend and telling his friend that I've got the answer to these things, that, he had the ability to go back and read what Paul had written in other epistles to confirm the fact that what we're looking at is truly the outworking or the onworking, rather, of the, plan and purpose of God that you find over in about Appendix 190 of the, somewhere in there of the Companion Bible. And so when we went through Acts 13, we found out that when Barnabas and Paul went into these synagogues on their second little, they call them missionary journeys, and there's a reason for that, but we won't get into that tonight, but that much. But we find that when we got to Acts 13, then Paul becomes the main speaker. And that when they went into the synagogue to preach, well, there was those behind the curtain, behind the wall, and those that were in front of the wall, and they heard this message that these guys were preaching concerning Christ, the Son of God, and what he did. And so these people wanted to hear more of it. Well, you know, the Jews always had a little streak of jealousy in their being, because they had benefits. And I'll call them benefits that other people didn't have. And one of the benefits was that they had the blood of Abraham in their veins. Now, other people did too. If you turn on your television in the last year or so, even up to today,
see a lot of them anointing each other with bullets.
You find that there are some of them that still had the blood in the veins that wasn't of the Jews, basically, because Abraham had a son with a handmaid, and when he sent him out into the desert, he said, I will make 10 princes out of them. Folks, they're the ones that own all the oil. Because Abraham couldn't give truly what he had for his family to that kid. But he said he was a wild man. And he wouldn't let him be raised up with Isaac. And he sent him away. And the apples don't fall that far from the tree. So you've got all these little countries over there today that are still controlled by one man. It's their government. It's basically a one-man deal. And
monarchies.
And so it's a situation to where whatever they do or say is rule. If they want to kill somebody, it's okay, evidently. You know, and they don't respect life too well. But that's the way the earth is today. And I know the Jews don't know. I don't know if any of them now, if there's any of them still living. I don't know. There's a lot of them that call themselves Jews, but I'm not sure they could tell you which tribe their blood came from. Because it doesn't seem to me the people that they interview on television over in what now they, the land that supposedly was given to them, they still are looking for a Messiah. They're not looking for Christ. And so that's a bad thing. But here, I want to go to Romans 10. And I want to read Romans 10 and 11. I don't know how far I get tonight. But once you read Acts 13, there's so many questions between the Jew and the Gentile, the ethnos, the nations. And it's not the Jewish nations, but it's the rest of the world. And they started preaching to both of them and giving them basically the same message. And so there was a conflict there. And it seems like it doesn't take much to get the Jews really stirred up. And so I said, okay, a lot of people don't understand about the grafting in period. So when Barnabas and Paul and his company started talking and preaching to these people and said, look, I'm going to tell you both what this God and what his son can do for you. Well, there was no new promises made there. And the fact of giving the Gentiles something different from what the Jews got. And so there was a grafting in time there because these people early on in Acts, and I know I've met people all over the United States that I've talked to that said, well, you know, for a long time we didn't know anything but Acts 13. We didn't know about the mystery. The mystery truth. Well, why didn't they? See, the mystery can only be understood by those that have the indwelling Holy Spirit. And that indwelling Holy Spirit, you couldn't feel it maybe that much when the Lord put it there. But its direction for you and me gives us understanding of this word that other people don't have. There's lots of people sat in a church on the back pew and the Holy Spirit was dealing with them, but they never went up and made a profession of faith. They never became a believer. Why not?
Or they made a profession of faith as a believer and just never dug into the word.
Never really got involved to a point to where they could get it fully exactly. Understood. Because
Amen.
You see, with wisdom comes knowledge, and with that knowledge comes understanding. So you see, these things follow in different orders and different ways. And you could just tell when somebody has is under the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead them. I call it the GPS. Most of us now have GPSs either in our pocket, on a telephone, or in our car or something somewhere. I don't, but a lot of people do. And you know what GPS stands for? Well, if you've never heard me say it, I'm going to tell you right now. God's perfect Son indwells you and will lead you, and whether you follow it or not is up to you. But it's not a global positioning thing. It's a God put thing. And if the Holy Spirit is not leading and guiding you, then there's a lot of this word that you might not ever understand or come to an understanding of, or even care to look into it. Man, I spend 2 or 3 hours a day on it, and I can't get enough of it. Now, whether I'm right, I might not be right a lot of the times, but I'm looking. So let's get to looking. The 10th chapter of Romans. Now I know Romans was written further on up the road a little bit in the timeline, but still, Luke had it when he put this together and put it all together. And Luke could tell his friend, yeah, I can give you a good running line on this because I've got the information.
So Theophilus?
Yeah. Brother, your friend Theophilus or whoever he was.
Yeah.
Okay, so we read a little bit of Romans 9 before, but Romans 10 deals with Israel's failure under the law for the first 13 or 14 verses here. So we're not going to spend too much time in it because a lot of this is self-explanatory. But Paul says this, 10:1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved.
And this is the minister chosen for the uncircumcision.
Yeah.
But that's how he feels about his people.
Yeah. But he still has the Jewish blood in him. He has every benefit that a Jew would have had. And he renounces that. What, in Philippians, I believe it is, he renounces all that. He said, I count all that but a pile of dung. So, but right here in Romans 10, he says, his heart's desire and his prayer is for Israel that they all might be saved. He didn't want one of them lost, okay? He says in verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Whoa, wait a minute. We're talking about wisdom here. Well, wisdom brings knowledge. You know, you wouldn't go and sit under a professor in a college somewhere if he didn't have knowledge of whatever it was he was teaching. Because that is an enhancement of wisdom in that field that he has chosen. Now, a lot of them don't have the understanding that they can put it forth so that another individual that don't seem to have the brain power like me might not be able to pick it up right away.
See, Paul had that same zeal toward God, but not according to knowledge when he was a Pharisee.
Yeah.
So he knows what he's talking about.
He knows where he's at.
Yeah, he had to get his wheels aligned by God. Yeah. And God said, boy, here's what I want you to do.
Yeah. And every day he was mindful of that because he said he prayed to God to take that thorn away from him, whatever it was.
If it's not according to God and God's plan, then it's not true. You can have that zeal, but it's not according to what God wants you to have zeal for. That's a good point.
Yeah, you can have a good plan in your mind, and that's what I've always told people, said that if you want to hear God laugh, and I, I don't know where he laughs or not, but if you want to hear God laugh, tell him what you're going to do.
Well, Cain heard him get mad when Cain told him what he was going to do. Yeah. Here's how I'm going to worship you, God. God said, no, you folly's at the door here. You ain't doing it the way I prescribed.
Absolutely. So it was according to zeal, but not to God.
That's exactly.
He knew what he, some of what he needed to do, Cain did, but he didn't follow it.
That is a powerful verse.
And it says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. It's all
like
right
Cain.
There. It's all right there. When you're pointing at somebody and say, I will do this or I will do that, you got one finger sticking out and you got four fingers pointing back at yourself. Mm-hmm. So the will sometimes gets us in trouble. And the will always got the Jewish people in trouble because when they felt like that God had left them, they would go out and get involved in idolatry again. And so this is the situation. They go about to establish their own righteousness. They think they can do something or do some work that will make it okay.
And today, most people's righteousness is based around whatever their denomination is.
Yeah.
And when you approach them with
absolutely
some rightly divided truth, they are not bailing on what they think their righteousness is.
You got it.
Even though they'll sometimes admit, well, I don't really know how to answer that.
They were doing only their own will. And it says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. It gets to a point to where it is truly believing to allow God to lead, guide, and direct your life, your being, and your thinking, and your knowledge to a point to where he can use you in any way he chooses or desires.
And see, if you can't rightly divide the scripture, then you're forever stuck under the law, because the scripture rightly divided says Christ ended that.
Ended the law. It said it right here. Christ is the end of the law.
And you ask most people today that have the Ten Commandments stuck in the
yard.
In the yard sign in their yard. You know, you're under the law or under grace. Well, they'll immediately say they're under grace.
Yes. So, well,
I ain't saying the Ten Commandments ain't
here. It says,
got some validity to it. But
it says Israel had a failure under the law because they couldn't keep the law either.
Yep.
It says, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. So if you've got a mindset on the law thinking, says, well, if it's lawful to do this, regardless of what God thinks, then you're automatically on the wrong side of the track. It just don't work. So, 5 is Leviticus 18:5. And it talks about it being by the law. But 6, we go back and think about John 3:13 and Acts 2:34. It's by faith. Because there's a big difference between the law and faith. And people just don't understand it. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. So you don't get one hand of God through the man of God unless he gives you the other hand. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Full stop. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Christ is not going to die again. He came and did that once. Now he's at the Father's throne, waiting for pleroma, waiting for fullness of his body. And that's what is going on today. It's a work to fill that body of Christ. And you see, without the Holy Spirit, we can't know which direction to go in. But God can certainly give it to us through the indwelling Spirit, that we might can go and deal with those that don't have that knowledge up to that point. Verse 8 of chapter 10 says this: "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the word of faith which we preach.
This is what faith speaketh. Yeah.
It is always there. It is always close. If you will allow it to take hold of your life,
amen,
to lead, guide, and direct you, that is your GPS that's been given to you. The Jews had a lot of benefits, but they never had a benefit like this, like he's talking about. And even when we see and understand this, and you get to Ephesians, and when Paul says that he's going to bless you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, it's not known by very many people. But then we find out, if we read a little further, that we only get just the earnest of our inheritance. Yeah. We only can have that little bit that we can fully understand right now, because we can't understand it all in our blood life, the life that we have now. Verse 9. Look at this: "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." There's not a problem with that.
The word of faith.
It's true. Verse 10. "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confessing is made unto salvation." Gee. It's not that hard to believe and understand. Verse 11 says, and a lot of people can't get by this: "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed." You know what? There's people that don't want other people to see them carry their Bible with them somewhere, or to get into a conversation where they're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't want to get involved in that. Why? There's no shame in it. But to them that don't have the full understanding of the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding put together, it will overcome the shame. You'll have no shame. It's not a shameful thing to believe on the one that created this earth and gives you and me everything every day.
Amen. That's bad.
What's wrong with that? Verse 12 says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek." Ooh. This is the problem that they couldn't believe. This, they say, well, are you going to let these uncircumcised people have the same hope that we have? Yeah, they did for a while.
And as late as Romans is written, in the Acts period. I ain't talking about Greek-speaking Jews either. That's Greek Greeks.
Right. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. He has the availability to anyone that bows themselves and says, God, I know what you've done through your son to give me hope of life again. I believe that. I believe that his blood was given for me, and I believe that it has cleansed my sins, not just covering, but taking them away. There's a lot of difference between a covering and a taking away. Verse 13. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that was Israel's failure under the law. Now let's look at their failure under the gospel. You say, well, that's the same thing. No, it isn't either. They tried to keep the law and to have everything that the gospel was teaching too, and they wasn't rightly divided.
No, one frees you from the other.
Yeah. So you know, it's like the old man and the new man. Now the old man can still live and the man with the Holy Spirit within him, but sometimes it grieves the Holy Spirit because man's mind allows him to do things that the Holy Spirit is not compatible with. Or God is not really compatible with that. But let's read it and see what it says. How then shall they call on him to whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher or someone to put forth this good news? Because that's what the gospel is. It is good news. It is the best news that this old world has ever heard. Simply because Satan did not want man to hear it anymore. He'd rather it wasn't around, because he now realizes and knows what his fate is going to be down the road, because God has revealed that to him, and he started revealing it to him in the Chapter 2 of Genesis. And talking about the enmity between the two seeds. Finally, that enmity is going to do Satan in. And Satan is a work of God. And Satan has within him this power or flame of God, this fire within. And that fire is what's finally going to take him away. Because God giveth, God taketh away. And so that's eventually how it's going to come back. But now, he's going to do what he can while he's here, or while he's able to work in this realm. And 15 says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring the glad tidings of good things. So, 15 there is makes a statement and uses Isaiah 52:7 for the basis of that. And 16 is something that's been around ever since God chose man, other than being a prophet, but to be a preacher. And they're not all gonna get this gospel. It says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who hath delivered our report? So a lot of times these prophets of old saw that everybody wasn't obeying the word that God
sent. Remember what Stephen accused them of? He said, which of the prophets have you not taken and slain?
Yeah.
Because they told you the truth.
Right. Even as far down as Hebrews, when Paul was,
and then they took him and killed him.
Hebrews.
Yeah, stoned him to death when he got done talking.
Absolutely. So people get, they hear something and they don't want to share it. And I think this was part of, these people of God that, they had every privilege, it seems like, in the world, but they didn't use it like they should. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It seems like a lot of times that preaching is foolishness, especially to those that have come believers over the period of time. And it seems like it's a repetitive sort of message. But if your mind and your heart is in the right place, it never gets old. Mm-hmm. It never gets old.
Amen.
But hearing, this is faith. And faith is the outworking of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Brings you true faith. This true faith. Because it's all there. And he says, but I say, have they not heard? And Paul says, yes, verily, their sound went unto all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. And so Paul says, then, and look how much more things that we have today to put forth the word out than he had. He had to go and meet these people face to face. He had to talk to them face to face. Didn't have a microphone. He had to hold his arms up to get them to quiet down, to say, hold her down a little bit, boys. I got something else I want to tell you. He had none of this electronic stuff then. It was here, but it wasn't in the right things then like it is now. So, this is Paul in 53-54 AD saying this. And some 20-something years after Christ was put on the tree and crucified. But think now to what advantage we have that. Though the world can know God, that's not a problem. But he says, but I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy. Listen to this now. But I say, did not Israel know? And then he goes on to say, first, Moses saith. This is what Moses said. Through God's words, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation, I will anger you. That's what Moses said. But Isaiah said, is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me.
Wow.
Why? Yeah, that's the question.
That's a wow.
But to Israel he said, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and a gainsaying people. God says, you have been under my control all these days. I've not left you. You may have think I have left you. You may feel like I have left you, but it's you that has left me. God hasn't given up. Just like Paul started out in 10, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is that they all might be saved. So we get to chapter 11. We'll start with that, but we'll finish it next time in the next study. But 11 says this, I say then, when Paul says, I've said all this, and I say then, hath God cast away his people? He asks the question. Has God turned his back on Israel? God forbid. No. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin.
Knew who he was.
Paul had no problem understanding his lineage and where he came from and where he got the blood of Abraham. And that's a problem that I think people have in this day and age, because they've dropped God out of the picture and they've went so long they have lost all that. And of course Nero burned all the records and everything. Nobody can prove that, but God knows who they are, if there's some left.
Or Titus's army.
Yeah. However it come about. He says, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Would you not, what the scripture says, do you not know, he says, what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets or your prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life.
And they want to kill me too.
Yeah, he said, man, I'm in a pickle here. But what saith the answer of God unto Elias, or to him? He says, look, Elias, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed their knee to the image of Baal. A remnant. He says,
when you think God's given all he's going to give, he's holding back just a little
bit. Yeah, and he's got in reserve what he needs.
Yep.
Because that reserve continues the pleroma of his son on through, because when Christ's fullness is full, whatever that is, and however that works, he's going to come back to the earth, and he's going to come back in his fullness and in his power with his body when he appears. It says, even so, then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. We know what grace is, don't we? It's unmerited favor. It is a gift of God that we oftentimes don't deserve. God's grace is overabundant. It is what is needed in the time of need. Truly. And it says, and if by grace, then it is no more works. And that's another full stop. Because what we're going to say next is basically the rest of the story. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work.
It's a fancy way for saying it's one or the other.
Yeah.
You've
got to understand the difference between a gospel of grace and a law of works. This is what it amounts to. There's the difference between the two. And so when we rightly divide God's word, then all of this comes into play. He says, what then, Israel? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. But the election have obtained it. If you have been chosen, an election is a choosing of God. And God can choose who he pleases. Now, we're his.
Basically, a good analogy for saying, he's telling Paul, there's going to be some that don't believe, and there's going to be some that don't believe. And that's always been the way it is.
It's always been that way. And especially, it's always been that way with the Jews. Some believed and some believed not. And they had signs and wonders.
All the way down to the end of the book of Acts.
And signs and wonders were something that you couldn't explain.
Yeah.
I mean, they were able sometimes to see things they couldn't explain. We'll just let it run here. We'll just let it be. And that's pitiful. Said, what then, Israel had not obtained that which it seeketh for, but the election obtained it, and the rest couldn't see. They were blinded. Why is it that some people can be under the leadership of the Word and the Holy Spirit be working with them? And they can't see it. They're blinded.
There's obviously an election of God. And I don't know how else to explain it.
I don't know either. But I tell you what. I have lived long enough now following or trying to follow the Word of God to know that if someone wasn't supposed to see it, you're wasting your time.
Like Millie used to say, God did himself some choosing.
Yeah.
And that ruffles a lot of feathers.
It does.
But I think it's a very provable concept in the scripture.
Right. And then sometimes we found out this, you and I have both, that people that we talk to aren't getting the message, but there are other people that are listening. It does get it.
Oh, yeah.
And that blows my mind.
Good stories on that one.
That is how you know that the Holy Spirit worketh in you and give you the words to say. Because if it's not to the individual you're talking to, it may be the other individual that's got open ears.
Yep.
And an open mind.
And it was.
Here. Well, let's read three more verses and we'll close for the day. according as it is written. God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear. And to this day, that seems like Isaiah 6.
Yep.
Okay. And David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back always. I say then, verse 11, we'll stop with verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. No, no. But rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy.
And so, there is the explanation of Acts chapter 10 where Peter opened the door to Cornelius and his house. And then Paul and Barnabas went to the other Gentiles of the region and began to graft them into Israel's hope.
Right.
You can't understand Acts 10 without reading what you just read, Acts 9 through 11, I think. Yeah. It's the rest of the story.
So
Paul makes it real clear.
We'll finish up with the rest of Romans in our next study, hopefully next Wednesday night.
So if salvation here has to come unto the Gentiles, is it safe to assume that they didn't have it before or whatever that point is?
Yes.
And
it was prophesied.
Paul makes that very plain in Ephesians chapter 2. And he also makes it plain several times in the Old Testament how he chose Israel over all the other nations of the earth. And it was their ball game. All through the scripture, even during the gospel period when Christ was on the earth, it was their ball game all the way to Acts 10. Then Peter got the vision.
Right.
And now these Gentiles, these dogs, these uncircumcised, can be brought into the same hope that we have, so that will make us jealous.
The ethnos, the uncircumcised, And what was it? The Samaritans that they were?
The Samaritans were Jews, but...
They were offshoots of the...
Yeah, they were of the blood of Abraham. They had a different temple and worshiped differently and...
Not always.
Yeah, they kind of did it their own righteousness, which is why they were kind of outcast.
Outcast at that point. Okay, so we'll... I wanted to do this because I felt like that a lot of times I've never truly met people that said they looked at Acts 13 as being the beginning of the church, but the church I think had to have the start with the indwelling Holy Spirit rather than the Holy Spirit being upon or with. That was a wonderful thing. And that was a benefit of God too. But now we're talking, when you talk about a benefit of God, I think when we look at scripture and we see that God chose these people and gave them certain benefits, they got from their bloodline, they got hope if they would do what God would choose for them to do. But then grace was announced, that God's grace was a gift also, and I think wisdom is a gift.
And you can trade the law for Christ and have all that liberty in Christ that Paul talked about.
Yeah. And so
don't have to do all
and
these
so the
sacrifices.
Benefits kind of went by the wayside and down the line, but they felt jealous of what they had and they didn't want to give it up.
Well, obviously the Acts period was a stumbling for them, or there would never have been an Acts 10 and a grafting in point beginning.
yeah,
like it was. So, yeah, you hit the nail right on the head. This is
it's important, and yeah, I want to get through this, and then I go back to Acts 14 because I didn't got my notes on Acts 14. There is a lots of stuff in Acts 14 there that is talked about that hadn't been talked about before. The word apostle comes into mm-hmm. play.
Well, where you hit the nail on the head is that this ain't that hard to understand when you read it in the light in which it was written. And that's what I've been doing on Sunday mornings. They kind of, yeah, we're dovetailing together here, yeah, pretty good. So
to that situation where when we get down to what God then allows Paul to tell to the Ephesians and the Philippians and the Colossians, then if you have the indwelling spirit, it ought to be in order to just,
amen,
bloom right out like, amen, a big flower of it to you in that situation. Because I think a lot of people just have, in their life, they just go so far and then they stop. Yeah. They don't want to go any further.
Yeah, without the book of Acts and a good working knowledge of the, yeah, book of Acts, you are not going to be able to see some of these things.
So, bless you for being with us, Lord. We hope that what we said and how we put it forth would be a blessing to you, and that if there's any way that we can help you anytime, let us know that's what we're here for. I think I'm going on 82 years old. And I think that's the reason the Lord let me live this long, because generally my courage don't live that long.
We ain't done with you yet.
But maybe he's not done with me. I don't know. But anyway, as long as he allows me to do it, and as long as I have the brain and the ability to get up and open the book, I'm going to do it.
Amen.
And God bless you. And I love you all, even though we may have never met. But that doesn't matter. We're still all brothers in Christ.
Amen.
God bless you.